Welcome to Railfans. I'm Shane Sege. Join us as we discover Ottawa's O-Train, Toronto's subway, and Montreal's metro system together.
Today I'm going to be talking about reliability. And reliability can mean many different things, whether you're a transit operator or a passenger. The meaning of reliability, the way you look at reliability, and the way you consider something being reliable is different. So let's start by taking a look at how the transit operator looks at reliability. We'll use OC Transpo O-Train Line 1 as an example. And the way they calculate service reliability for that line is a percentage based on the actual number of kilometers traveled by the trains compared to the number of kilometers that were scheduled. So for example, if the line is approximately 12.5 kilometers long from Blair to Tunney's Pasture, and it does about 500 trips in a day, for example, these aren't exact numbers, but just as an example, you would get a certain number of kilometers in total. That's the scheduled number of kilometers that it should travel. If a train is out of service, if there's a delay, if things like that happen, then the number of kilometers traveled in that given day will be less. That will affect the percentage. There's also other aspects such as on-time performance. So again, that has a slightly lower bearing than the kilometers traveled, but they're looking at how close to the scheduled departure times are the trains operating. So let's say it leaves every 5 minutes. They're looking to see how often it is within 1 minute of that scheduled time on either side. If it's every 5 minutes, if it's every 6 minutes, if it's every 4 minutes, you know, like a little bit of leeway there, because sometimes it might take a little longer for it to get through some stations depending on crowds and all that. So they want to make sure that the headways, the time between trains, is consistent. But that's a lesser degree factor in calculating the reliability than kilometers traveled versus the kilometers scheduled. So that's how they look at it. Now let's talk about how a passenger, a rider, looks at reliability. Obviously, when we think of reliability, when we think of something being reliable, we want it to be dependable. So what does that mean? That means that you can get on the train and go from your origin to your destination without issue. What does that mean? That means that, one, there won't be some sort of service interruption that delays you from making it there, that there's not some sort of service impact or mechanical breakdown that forces you off the train onto surface transit, like buses, or if you have to take a taxi or Uber or something like that, depending on where you are and what you want to do, or if there's crowds, even get on those relief buses. You also want to look at reliability as being showing up on time, getting you to your destination based on the schedule. So if it's supposed to take 20 minutes to get from the station you got on at to the station you get off, you want it to be 20 minutes so that if you have to make another connection to another bus line or to a train to continue your trip, that you're arriving at the proper time so that you can make that connection without missing it and then being further late. These are just a couple elements of reliability. What else affects reliability? So we've talked about the train arriving on time, the train getting to the destination on time, not having issues from point A to point B, which again affects the travel time. So everything, you want it to be predictable in that sense, so that you know what to expect, that you know you can count on it, that you know that if you make it on the initial train at the initial station, that you have a high level of confidence that I'm going to arrive at my intended station at the time that I'm supposed to, so that the rest of your day or the rest of your commute or travel is not impacted. Obviously, there is a difference with how the transit operator looks at it and how the passenger, the rider, perceives the reliability. The transit operator is looking at it from a numbers perspective, in the sense of how many trips did we achieve in that day that we were supposed to, and how close was it to being on time. Reliability for everybody is a different experience. It's very multifaceted. So if you get on your train and you make it to your destination. It was supposed to take 20 minutes. You got there in 20 minutes. You made your connection. Fine. If the next person gets on an hour later and all of a sudden there's a breakdown on the train, and for however they had to complete their trip at that point, they got there 20 minutes late. They missed their bus. The next bus is another 20 some minutes later. They already lost maybe 30, 40, 50 minutes of their trip. They're late. They're frustrated. It was an unreliable experience for them because something happened and it affected their trip. So will something ever be 100% reliable? I don't think so. We can look at other big cities such as Toronto, such as Montreal. Toronto's been running their subway since the 50s. Montreal's been running their metro since the late 60s. And both of these are massive, world-class transit operations. They know what they're doing. They have tremendous level of experience. And yet, things still do happen. Obviously, the environment in which the train and the service operates is a big factor. So when you look at Montreal compared to Toronto, weather events are going to have a much lesser impact on the Montreal Metro than the Toronto subway. Why is that? Because the Montreal Metro is 100% underground. The trains never come out of the tunnels onto the surface. That's a big thing. So it could be snowing. We could have 50, 60 centimeters of snow in one day. It will not affect the metro because the metro is completely separated from the exterior elements. It's not going to get rained on. It's not going to get snowed on. There's never going to be any snow or slush on the guideway, on the track. And it works great in Montreal because Montreal can get some really harsh winters with some pretty significant snowfalls. And the gridlock in that city is quite substantial. So they made the right call in doing that. Again, this was built almost 60 years ago when, you know, money was seemingly growing on trees, let's say, to build the Laval extension in Montreal, which was three additional stations from Henri Bourassa all the way to Montmorency. It was an astronomical amount of money to build those three stations. I think that added around, let's see, four-ish kilometers, give or take, let's say, approximately. And that was a cost-prohibitive expansion compared to what the initial line cost years earlier. So do they have a reliable system in that sense? From the weather perspective, yes. Did they put in the money in their due way back when? Yes. But is it something that's really feasible and doable in modern day with the cost of construction, the cost of tunneling, the cost of the engineering involved in all these kinds of things to make it completely underground? It's very difficult. And in most cases, not possible or fiscally responsible to do something like that. So other things need to be done. So what we look at is operations like Toronto, operations like Ottawa's O-Train, operations like SkyTrain. They're on the surface. So in a weather event, what do? They keep the track clear. They keep the switches clear. They have heaters. They have heat tracing to make sure that the snow melts. But things still do happen. Sometimes the snow comes down too much and then there's nothing that can be done. The train just stops or it gets stuck or it causes some sort of power outage that immobilizes the train or some sort of brake fault or track intrusion system because of the amount of snow. Any number of things can happen. So environmental factors are a big thing that affect reliability. Another thing that affects reliability, the train, the fleet, the maintenance. How frequently do these trains break down? How reliable are they? There's a measurement called the mean distance between failure. That's the average distance that a train will operate before it has a major failure that disables it. For example, the Montreal Metro, there was a point where even the older Metro trains, some of which were just retired a couple years ago, the MR63, they were averaging around almost 300,000 kilometers between failures. That's a significant number. Again, that comes into play because of the completely underground aspect of the metro. Other systems might not be so lucky with that kind of kilometers and distance between failure because they're operating on the surface, so they're exposed to elements. There could be water infiltration into the train. There could be mechanical systems that get damaged because of the salt. There could be any number of things. We've seen it in Ottawa. We've seen it in Toronto. Electrical cutouts, shorting, just getting stuck in the snow or slipping or brake fault or anything like that. Can the operator really control all these aspects? They can control them to a great extent, but things do happen. Of course, another aspect of reliability can also be medical emergencies or people in distress that might have entered the guideway or the track, or somebody dropping something on the track because they were too close to the platform. They were looking at their cell phone and it fell in, or dropped their bags down there. Well, I mean, these are obstacles that the train shouldn't be passing over. It could cause damage to the train or any number of things from happening. Service might have to be stopped. They might have to send someone to go down and remove the debris or the obstacles. These are things that can happen that influence the service being delivered, and again, affects the reliability from a statistical point of view for the transit operator, as we talked about earlier, as well as the experience that the passenger receives riding on the train and the system. So bottom line, what is reliability? It's many things. Is the train going to show up on time? Am I going to reach my destination on time? Am I going to have issues between point A to point B? And all those things can be boiled down to, can I count on it to get me where I need to go? It's very much an opinion thing. It's very much a personal thing, how you look at something being reliable. There's many ways. We're all human. We all have different priorities, but that's the bottom line. Can it get me there safely, on time? Will it pick me up? Will it drop me off when it's supposed to? Will the trip time from point A to point B be what I'm told and expecting? This is reliability. Will things ever be perfect? Unfortunately not, because there's so many factors on such a big system that can impact it. But transit operators are trained, have plans to mitigate, minimize the impact of these operational challenges as best as they can. Hopefully, this gives you a little food of thought as to what reliability is. I'd love to hear from you what you think reliability means on a transit system, specifically on a train-based system, so subway, metro, O-train, SkyTrain kind of system. Tell us in the comments. Let's talk about it. Let's share our thoughts on this. What does it mean to you, reliability? What do you consider reliable? What aspects do you consider unreliable? Share it with us in the comments. Look forward to reading those and engaging in that discussion. So thanks for listening. Take care, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.